take this job.
Good morning, everyone. Everyone could please have their seats. We're calling to order this hearing today for Wednesday, September 25th, 2013. It's a regularly scheduled variance hearing. So again, if everyone could have their seats, we'd like to get started. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Atera-Taylor, who's at the controls for the hearing today as the executive secretary. Also here with Corey Teague, who's the assistant zoning administrator and will be filling in for the December variance hearing that we have upcoming. Some general information items. First, on the order of presentation, the applicant and or owners will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments. And again, if people could please be quiet while we go through this general information, that we'd much appreciated for everyone in the room. The order of presentation begins with the applicant and or the owners will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to justify a variance have been met. At this time, the applicant should also present their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak, and the applicant and or owner will be allowed 3 minutes to speak for rebuttal if there's any public comment in opposition to the project. The applicant and or owner or the members of the public may be asked questions by me during the hearing. At the end, it may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement, may indicate a decision today, or may continue the item to a future date. There's one item on the consent calendar today. These matters are considered routine, and if anyone would like to speak on the item, please step forward. Otherwise, the item would be granted, subject to standard conditions. And there's a general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda, and members of the public would be allowed 3 minutes each to speak on those items. We also do have a new piece of technology today, a nice shot clock, so please bear with us while we go through the learning process of this, but hopefully it'll make it more clear exactly how much time the applicants and members of the public have to speak. So now for criteria for justifying a variance, Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or a necessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation, and if we could also have people turn their phones off, that's quite disruptive, so yeah, we would appreciate that. Again, finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until the decision letter is issued. Given current backlogs, it may take up to 2 months to complete a decision letter from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of this decision letter, please sign in. There's on the sign-in sheets on the far wall. That's very important because, as I said, no decision is final until that letter is issued, and it's the letter which carries with it an appeal right. Within 10 days, the decision may be appealed to the Board of Appeals. Other items, as has already been noted, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. So while we do encourage parties to talk and to discuss the matters, we would request that that be done out in the hall so as to avoid disrupting everyone in the room. The next variance hearing will be scheduled for the end of October 23rd, I believe. And audio recordings of variance hearings beginning with the January 1st, 2011 hearing are available on our website as a link from the hearing agenda. And with that, we can move into the consent calendar.
We have one item in our consent calendar, case number 2012-0189V, 1731 Larkin Street, rear yard variance sought.
Is there any member of the public to speak on this item? That's case number 2012-0189V for 1731 Larkin Street. If there is no public comment on this item, it would be granted. So seeing no public comment on this item, close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, and now we can move on to the regular calendar.
First item on our regular calendar, case number 2013.0113V, 35-41 Lafayette Street, open space, variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. I'm Kenneth Page, owner of the property. I will give a brief introduction to the history of the project, and then my architect will speak in terms of the merits, other legal merits. But I think you needed a brief background of the project, that this was started through the Mayor's Office of Housing at their urging. I'm on this committee for the seismic development, Patrick Ottolini, Lawrence Cornfield. And we came up with the idea that we could, this was a soft story apartment building that was in danger. So we put in seismic, we got a permit for seismic strengthening, and with the option, with the ability to put in housing below, along with that, so that the tenants would not have to pay for the seismic. Otherwise, they would pay about $150,000. Which none of them could afford. And so the mayor thought this was, gee, Ken, this is a great idea. Let's go for this. So we are the poster child for seismic. And this is a project that's being followed by the Chronicle and by Mayor and by another magazine that wants to do a report on it and their findings and how this whole thing went. As an answer to housing, how to give more low-income and rent-controlled housing to the city of San Francisco and solve the seismic problem all at the same time. This has taken a little bit longer than we thought. It was supposed to be an easy project. Didn't turn out to be quite so easy, but in any case, we're moving along. If you have further questions on this, I would defer to John Winder, who's the architect, that can tell you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Mr. Sanchez, members of the hearing, I want to thank you for giving us an opportunity to present the project. Just as a brief overview, I'd have you look at the photos. This is from the corner, and you can see our project is this project right here. You can see in these photos, you can see in these photos that this area down here is not used. We're not sure exactly historically why this project was built in such a way that the first floor is actually here, which is up quite a bit. And as you can see, this whole level down here is merely walls that have raised up the first floor 7 feet. When we started doing the seismic upgrade project, we realized that this was all space that was hardly being used, and since housing is an important issue, we decided to tackle that. We inserted, as you can see, we've inserted the two units in each building, two here with access to the street, two here with access to the street directly. They fit into the space without hardly any additional kind of, we didn't need to raise the building. In one case, we had to lower the floor by about 12 inches, which was an easy excavation. The variance we're seeking, however, is to deal with a unique situation. This is one lot with two buildings on it. Historically, they were filled out, and clearly rear yard requirements and all of those things didn't exist when those two buildings were put together and put up. And we found that in a pre-app meeting with the planning department that our biggest problem was open space requirements. That open space that you can see highlighted in green here is what exists, but it does not meet the exact criteria of the planning department because at the narrow end it's about 9 feet, 7 inches wide, and it goes wraps around. The current tenants, there's four units above these and four above these, so there's 8 units existing now on the space. They use this space because, as you can see in this photo, that this area here is a gate that provides privacy and access for them. Their rear yards are their rear steps are back here, and here, and they have a lot of nice common area. So our variance request is basically that we have a unique situation. We're trying to fulfill the whole aspect of the planning code implications and deal with this non-conforming rear yard area. The one last issue I'd like to bring up is the fact that we applied in January. The zoning for this, as you can see in the posters and everything else, was RED, and there was no open space development fee required. It's been now 5 months since then. In May, it was rezoned, and we'd like you to reconsider the whole fee related to imposing it after the start. Thank you.
Thank you. And just on that last point, so under the law, under case law, we are obliged to apply the law of the day. So it's a little different from typically how building code requirements are applied, which, as I understand, it's what's in effect at the time you submit your application. But under planning code requirements, we go by the law of the day. And the law of the day is the Western Soma planning area, which was a multi-year effort that developed these requirements and these fees and provides no ability to waive or to modify those impact fees. So I don't have the authority to do that. I think maybe that's already been explained to, and I spoke to Mr. Buskovich about this, but just wanted to restate that.
Well, if there could be any way that you can provide a way that we might be able to reduce them or have some modification to it, if there's an appeal process or anything else, we'd appreciate that.
We can look into that. I'm not aware of any ability to waiver, to reduce, to modify, to or even appeal those fees. But
well, the other issue is whether the side that there's open space on the front of the building, which does not look like you have counted.
This area here, which is clearly much bigger, and I do not think that was considered as part of the open space, even though it is, the sidewalk is here and all of this space here, I do not believe. So perhaps we can talk with Deborah Dreyer.
I think Brittany Bendix is the staff planner, and you know, certainly we can review the plans and see if there's any square footage that would meet. So it's not just areas, you know, there are dimensional requirements to qualify as open space.
Right.
So, you know, we can certainly review the plans to see if there's any area that would qualify as usable open space that has not been credited towards the project, but and again, that's something that would happen after this variance hearing.
We appreciate very much. We have the affidavit here. I assume you're supposed to present it.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much.
Is there any public comment on this item? We're on item number 2, and that's 35 to 41 Lafayette Street. Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing on this item and be inclined to grant the requested variance. And as noted, we will review with staff the calculation of open space to ensure that the appropriate fee is being calculated for the project. And now we can move on to the next item.
Item number 3, case number 2013.0773V, 1535 Oak Street, rear yard and exposure variances sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Would you please approach the mic, sir? You also have 5 minutes.
Hi, my name is Joel Newman. I own unit number 2, 1535 Oak Street. That unit's in a four-unit building, a three-story, four-unit building right here. And there's an existing rear structure that's there that's was built, I don't know, maybe more than a decade ago. I purchased this place in 2005, and somebody had a curtain business back in there. And then the building was fully owner-occupied. Since then, it's been used for various purposes, storage, cars, office space, even living space, and it's been this gray area on that property. And I've worked very hard since about December of 2012. I've been working very hard to communicate with the owners of the property, the neighbors, to figure out a way to kind of resolve that kind of gray area of what that building should be doing and how it should be functioning, and finding a way to, while we nail down exactly what the best use for it would be, we'd improve the lot for everybody in the area by improving the property and the building and cleaning the place up and all the rest of that. When I first reached out to the planning department, from the very beginning, they were supportive because they saw it as a green way to add dwelling units to the building. And I consulted with them about navigating through the planning needs and building department needs to try to come up with a plan that would satisfy everyone's, you know, needs and conform to different relief from, you know, from the variances with from the planning department onto equivalency opportunities to forego. For example, the planning department didn't want to see a structure built on top of the building to allow access to a roof deck that the planning department wants us to provide some outdoor space for this unit. So they want a roof deck. Building would like to see a staircase enclosure, for example, but the residential design team didn't want to see a second story structure built on top of this existing structure. So through research of my own, I did discover AB057, I believe it is, that will allow me to provide access via a roof hatch, which will minimize the impact on the rear yard area. So we've resolved all those things after, you know, a pre-application meeting with planning, a pre-application with building, then follow-up communications and modifications to the plans. We've come up with a second set of drawings. We feel like we've met every challenge and jumped through every hoop. And again, the goal is to kind of set in stone what that building should be used for and eliminate the gray area. I think it's a benefit for everybody. And then by putting some of these resources into fixing the place up, it's going to improve the lot for that whole city block. I think that's kind of all I have to say on the subject.
Thank you. So a little bit more on the history. You said that about 10 years ago it was used as a shop for draperies or for...
When I bought it in 2005, there was a guy back there who had a drapery shop.
And then do you know when the unit... Because this is to legalize a unit, so a unit has been created there subsequent to this? Or?
No, it's been there for... I don't know how long. It's been there... For decades.
So the unit's been there for decades, yeah. But it hasn't been used as a dwelling unit. It was used as office, as commercial, as various things.
I know it's been used for the whole spectrum of things since prior to my purchasing the property.
And you just want to resolve it, have one legal use that you can continue with?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 3 for 1535 Oak Street. Would you please step forward?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay, thank you. I'm Les Partridge, and I'm one of the owners of the building next door to this, 152931 Oak Street.
So if you could just pull the microphone a little bit closer to you, we could pick you up better. Thanks.
Okay, good. And our concern is that this does add to the density of the property. There's no real free space back in that other building. Just going to be higher density, and also we're converting something that was built as a garage to more living space, so again, more density. We're also concerned about, I think, as everyone, about this roof deck that's going to be built on the structure, which will put someone's dog, someone who's smoking, people who are partying, right at the level of the bedrooms in our building. Now, there are lots of roof deck or first-story decks in the city. Some are problems, some are not. So we're not wild about this. The garage building is also built like a garage. And so what we're asking for is some assurances that if this does go through, and I think Mr. Newman seems to be supportive of this, but if this does go through, the foundation on our side of the garage will be raised so that when we water our yard or when it rains, the water doesn't go down into what will now be a dwelling unit rather than a garage. And as it stands now, there are portions of the garage which are where the foundation does not reach up to the top of our yard where it is now. So we just don't want a lot of hassles with noise and water issues if this is turned into a dwelling unit. Now, kind of running at the last moment here, so I've given Joel just now, sorry about the last moment, but a document we've been passing back and forth, and I think we have agreement on this. So if you're willing to sign this saying that you'll fix up the siding on the side of the garage, patch the window that's been boarded up, take the tarp off the side of the garage, fix that, and raise the foundation so that we're sure that our yard water and so forth is not going to go in the new dwelling unit, then we'll remove our objections. Okay?
I'm in agreement with all of that.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, once we allow the variance, we kind of lose our leverage, so we want to make sure that what goes in is going to make everyone happy as much as possible.
So okay. With that agreement, you have no opposition to the proposal?
As long as this goes, hopefully, yes.
Okay. Thank you. So that would be a private agreement that would not be enforceable by the department, as we are not a party to that, but you do have that agreement. So is there any other public comment on this item, on item number 3 for 1535 Oak Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, you would have a 3-minute rebuttal if you'd like to use that time, but it sounds like they've withdrawn their opposition. So with that, we'd close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, subject to standard conditions, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 4, case number 2013.0674V, 2001 17th Street, rear yard, open space, and parking variances sought. Project sponsor? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. Henry Canola with some of this project sponsor for this particular property. This is a restaurant on a ground floor level. It's been there for probably 40 years, if not more than that. And then above, the uses have, you know, it's never been really clear. It's been office at one time, then residential at another time, and so forth. So the intention right now is to have it made it into group housing. And that's sort of the bottom line. Our concern more than anything is, though, really is the restaurant on the ground floor, which really is a gathering place for people in the area to come to have dinner, to lunch, to meet, and so forth. And it's a great asset to the area. And by taking away that walking cooler that they have in the backyard would really kill the restaurant. So that's the biggest concern we have about that. Now, I did get some letters from the neighbors just the other day, and I haven't had a chance to even talk to them yet. And so I was hoping that we maybe can continue this so I can meet with the neighbors, resolve what we need to resolve, and come back and then make a decision at that time. But Z.A. Sanchez, it's up to you to make that decision.
Thanks. So the letters that we did receive came in over the last couple of days, I think 2-3 days. Have you made any attempts to contact any of the neighbors?
I just got them, so I never had even had a chance yet. You know, so that's the only problem.
Okay, and then can you go into a little bit the history of this? There had been a conditional use and a variance back in the early 90s and 94, but right. No permits were ever obtained to legalize this use.
Right. Yeah, what happened was, Z.A. Sanchez, is that back then the owner had not really told the tenants, restaurant operators, what was going on. And they had a complaint about the upstairs, not about the restaurant, and that's how it all sort of started. So they really had no idea that there was any sort of agreement or any sort of variance that was going to be granted or not granted and so forth. So it sort of just died with that until when they came to sell the property, and that's when it came back up again. And so, oh, no, wait a minute, there's this complaint that's still hanging out there, and so you need to take care of it. And that's how it came about.
And this is a RH2 zoning district.
At this moment, yes. Yeah, now it is. Yeah.
Residential to family.
Yeah.
And it does have a commercial use, which is a non-conforming use.
Exactly.
There had been, I think in the previous authorization, a condition that a structure in the rear be removed.
Right.
It's my understanding from staff that you said that was removed. However, there is now a refrigeration unit.
I just want to make it clear. I'm not sure if it was or not.
Okay.
I've only seen it in its present state. Mm-hmm. I'm only going by what that original variance was written up at that time. That's what I saw. So I don't know if there was or not, or what there was even there before. I can only tell you what is there now.
Okay. And then also, it's my understanding that there may be a proposal to put a deck on top of this kind of cooling unit or the refrigeration unit for the restaurant. but that's not on any of the plans that we have. Can you explain that?
Yes, that was a mistake that should have been on it, because the whole idea would be, seeing that the rear of the lot is quite shallow, and if you were to try to provide open space for the, because this would be for the residential above, and they would have to go all the way downstairs, and by the time they got downstairs there'd be so much shade and so forth, it wouldn't be very attractive for them to use that space as an open space. Whereas with a deck, it'd be much more attractive. If we put a deck up on the walk-in cooler, it'd be really a place where people would want to use it. They would want to sit outside.
This would be within the required rear yard and required
it would be, yes.
Variance. So why is that deck not on this plan set that we have?
Excuse me?
Why is the deck not on the plan?
It's just a mistake.
Because the application was submitted in May, at the end of May.
Yeah.
And, it's my understanding, I think there was eagerness on your client's part to move this forward. But we are at a hearing for a variance for a rear yard that doesn't have a roof deck in the rear yard that you may need to come back in a couple months for another variance. This doesn't make any sense to me.
I couldn't agree with you more. It was like an oversight. I thought that was in there, and I totally missed it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. And, we'll see if there's any public comment. I know there have been some significant concerns about this, so we'll see if there's any public comment here today.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Any public comment on this item? Item number 4 for 2001 17th Street.
Yes, please.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Eric Chereri. I own the property at 2005 17th Street. It's directly adjacent. The expediter here is, I think, purposely trying to mislead you with issues about the restaurant. This has nothing to do about the restaurant. The restaurant prior was a Chinese restaurant. It's now Live Sushi. That ownership change of the restaurant took place while I was owning the building and residing next door. I complained, and this is in my letter, but I wanted just to reiterate that this is a public safety issue for the neighborhood. Upstairs, drug dealings take place. I think the original use was office space, from my understanding from the neighborhood, and the prior owner sort of moved some people in there. That's why it doesn't have an operable kitchen. The bathrooms are in poor shape. There's no common space inside of the unit for these group housing individuals to share. It's substandard. It's not safe for the tenants that are living there, and the type of tenant that it's attracting is creating an unsafe environment for the neighborhood. I, in fact, was the victim of a shooting that took place in that unit. Bullets came through my dining room. I was home that day doing my taxes, and I wasn't feeling well. I went and laid down on the couch. 15 minutes later, two bullets came through the dining room, right through the place where I was sitting. And were it not for the fact that fortuitously I had a headache, went and laid down on the couch, I would be dead right now. This is a completely unsafe environment. For a number of years prior to this incident, I had complained to San Francisco Police Department about the drug dealings that took place in this place. At various hours of the day, they throw rocks up at the windows. This has nothing to do with the restaurant. It's about the unit upstairs. I also have asthma. The individuals that live there, all of them smoke. They come outside. They're outside in front and sit in my driveway and smoke there, and I've asked them to leave. I've asked them not to smoke in front of the house because the smoke comes inside. They go out and climb up on top of the roof and smoke. They throw their cigarettes in the backyard of the property. And I found drug paraphernalia, little plastic baggies with residue of white powder. Now, I don't know what that is, but the officer, when they came for the shooting, said that they believe it's methamphetamine. This is a completely unsafe use of the property. I oppose all three variances that are being requested, and I am 100% opposed to any sort of roof deck or any elevation in the height in the back there that would further block sunlight, fresh air into the backyard of my property. These are shorter lots. They're 75 feet, not the standard 100 feet. And I think that the code should be enforced.
Thank you. So, any other public comment on this item or on 2001 17th Street?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Hi, I'm David Wortman. I own the house immediately next door to Eric's at 2009 17th. We've had it for about 2 years. You're in receipt of three letters that Mr. Teague has forwarded to you, both from Eric, from my wife and myself, and also from the neighbor on the immediate other side of this property. There are additional folks, unfortunately, did not write letters, but I don't think you'll find a more unanimous front against this proposal, again, for public safety reasons. And while we respect the fact that this is the zoning board and not the police department, as you'll find in our letters, we don't want actions taken that will codify a very unsafe situation. What Eric didn't also add was that those bullets that nearly hit him led to the murder of a woman in that building in 2008, which was apparently a drug bust gone bad. 2 days after we moved into our property, at 1:30 in the morning, somebody tried to break into our back, which when I startled them, when they escaped, their escape route was over Eric's roof and back to that building, which because of the way the street slopes is clearly an entrance and exit route, and the idea of a roof deck and the preposterous claim that somehow it was an oversight that wastes your time and this board's time by not submitting correct drawings, the whole thing is a sham. A group housing may have been appropriate back in 94. The Eastern Neighborhood Plan clearly does not accept this now. It's also potentially something that could lead to Airbnb or other such rental accommodations. We have no transparency at all about what the real intentions are for this project, but given that we have ongoing public safety issues, I've complained to the police about other folks loitering out in front of the property. The police came and said, oh, we know all about that building. Again, all of this is codified in the letters that were sent to you, and it's really scurrilous to have an expediter here who's trying to pull the rug or the wool over your eyes by deflecting what is a frankly dangerous situation for all of us as though somehow this is about the restaurant. The restaurant is thriving. They do very, very well. As you know, there also were some specific requests to have that back area opened up, and when a trailer was supposed to be removed, again, I know you know the history here, instead a non-permanent building was built there that they now want to put a deck on top of. Please research this carefully, and please deny this. I don't know whether it's because of Eastern Neighborhoods you would do it, because of concerns about group housing overall in the city and what it could be used for high-frequency turnover, or frankly, just to take a stand to try to clean up this situation. We fully respect the need for inexpensive housing in this city. We all suffer from the lack of it, but please do not continue this incredibly unsafe situation. The folks on the other side who wrote you a letter have two small kids. They were very clear in their letter about the multiple times a day they have to walk by this property, and in no way do we mean disrespect to people who can't afford more expensive housing, but this is not the way to provide it. So please take it seriously, and please deny this. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item or on item number 4 for 2001 17th Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
From the comments, Z.A. Sanchez, you can hear it's more about the residential, not about the restaurant. Our concern was for the restaurant, about losing that walking cooler at the back that right now, if I have to close it down, we'll have nowhere to store cold goods. That's the big deal. There's no doubt that I've heard this thing story about the residential above and the group housing concerns also. We do need to keep in mind that the group housing will provide affordable housing. It definitely will. But if that's the case that we can't work with, then that so be it. As I said, I do would like to meet with these folks. I just got these letters the last couple of days ago. I haven't had a chance to talk to them. I would like to sit down, talk with them, discuss it, and see what they would like to do, and take it from there rather than just making a decision point blank of no, 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 and that's it, and letting it go. So that's sort of where my feelings are. And at no time did I intend to mislead anybody on this. At no time, right from the get-go, it was not my issue to do that.
Thank you. Is the property owner here with you today?
No, he's not. He's out of town.
He's out of town?
Yeah.
Okay. So who is responsible for operating the group housing use and
insurance? Right now it's nearly vacant. I think there's only like one person that's there. And so it's really not even operating as a group housing, period.
And what was the motivation for seeking the application at this time when, you know, the previous application was made some 20 years ago and never followed through? And was it the same owner at the time?
No, because it's new people who bought the building. And when they bought it, they saw that there was a lien on the property from a complaint listed on the property. And to get financing for it, they'd have to clean this up.
When did they buy the property?
about 2 or 3 years ago, maybe, something like that. I'm not
it
sure.
Sounds like the concerns of the neighbors are even more recent than that. I mean, the shooting had happened in 2008, but since that time, it sounds like there's still the I'm getting a nodding that it's still not being operated in a safe fashion, and that's by the current owner, by your client.
I can't answer to that. I will go back to him and ask him. This is brand new to me. If I had any idea that there was any complaints at all or stuff come up like this, I would have been on top of it. I wouldn't let it go.
Have they investigated converting it to a dwelling use rather than the group housing use?
A dwelling unit in RH2, again, we have the rear yard. We have to have the open space to 45%, and all that stuff would mean tearing down quite a bit of the building to do that. It would be a very huge expense. You may as well say, look, you know, if you want to really comply with the code for an RH2 to make it into 2 dwelling units, that would be the max we could have, we have to tear the building down. Because the size is a lot.
I think that could require some more investigation. I don't know that necessarily demolishing the building, that seems a bit going a bit far rather than an adaptive reuse. But I think you've answered most of my questions. But I guess there is a concern here, as you can see from the neighbors, that hasn't been addressed by your client. And I think we need to figure out how to deal with this today. So thank you.
Yeah, again, I would like to meet with them so we can go over these issues and see if we can resolve them as quickly as we can. So that's what I'd ask for.
Okay. So
if you say one thing.
Yeah, if you could step forward, though, and, you know.
I won't take much time.
Just to the point of.
Yes.
That he raised.
The expediter and the owner have had more than 5 months since the permit was first applied for to reach out to us. No communication's been requested. Whenever I've done any sort of work on any of my properties, I reach out to the neighbors in advance. I talk to them about what I'm going to do. I ask for their concerns, feedback, modifications that can be done to address those.
And have you've noticed the public safety issues have been ongoing since
yes.
the current owner has
yes. been over there. Ongoing, and the rear part has only gotten worse.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And so I think there are two issues here today. I mean, you know, one is the restaurant, and I think the issue with the restaurant, I mean, I want the neighbors to think that that is some red herring that the project sponsor may have thrown out. That's actually something that I had raised. Because it is a residential district, it's a non-conforming use, it had expanded based upon what we had seen, which is not allowed. You know, I think there are concerns about code compliance issues with this property. I see that there's this even another active enforcement case related to wireless facility on the rooftop. So we have this building, it may have expanded, maybe it expanded under the previous owner, not the current owner, but it seems that the current owner hasn't been maintaining the building adequately in the last couple of years either. So we have the second issue, which we're actually here for, is legalizing the group housing use and whether or not the project sponsor has made adequate arguments to justify the variances that they are seeking. They had made these arguments 20 years ago, but we do have 20 years of experience now, which has seen that this building cannot peacefully coexist in the neighborhood as group housing use. As such, I am prepared to deny the requested variance. And, you know, that said, I would encourage that the property owner meet with the neighbors, and there may be alternative proposals that may be better able to address and be compatible with the neighborhood. So with that, we can move on to the next item. Thank you.
Next item 5, case number 2013.0906V, 15 West Portal Avenue, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Tony Pantaleone. I am the architect for the project with Codis Pantaleone Architects. This building, our clients have been there since 1961, over 50 years. They've had their orthodontist office there. There was a fire next door, and their building had to be destroyed. In our effort to expedite the permit process, we had a project review meeting with Doug Vu and Delvin Washington, and they recommended to us that we replace the building in kind without expanding the envelope for the quickest, most expedient way of getting the permit. We then went to the building department and found out that they have no such code like that, that everything has to be brought up to current code, which would require an elevator, a widening of the exit stairs, and also accessible clearances for offices on the second floor. We then asked Doug to talk with you, if possible, if there was any way that these code changes would be allowed and still have our permit expedited. And unfortunately, you said, no, that wouldn't be allowed by the code. So therefore, we submitted for essentially a permit to for approval of the original building. And now we're back here requesting a variance as well as a 312 minor addition to the building to regain some of that square footage. The exceptional extraordinary circumstances for requesting this variance to encroach in the rear yards, as you'll notice that many of our surrounding neighbors have no rear yard or have a much smaller rear yard than the 25% requirement, simply because of the public parking that was built sort of two doors away from us, as well as a pedestrian access way to access West Portal. That eliminated some of the square footage of many of the neighbors' rear yards. Also, as I mentioned, to meet current code, which requires an accessible elevator, which is approximately 8x8, provide accessible clearances throughout the office, and doubling the size of the rear stairs. These consume a lot of the office space and break room space that we originally had in the building. If you can take a look, this is the existing building that we were replacing on the original permit. And as you can see, the shaded areas, we just popped out over the access way with enlarging these two offices as well as the break room and then enclosing the stairs. The main purpose to enclose the stairs is a maintenance issue. The units, the upstairs and downstairs, will be air conditioned. The weather in West Portal, as you all know, is foggy, and it really beats the heck out of the mechanical equipment. And over the years, they've had to have maintenance people come out and check it. Also, with the new code, the green building code, we have to provide solar collectors on the roof, so that's another item that we have to take care of. Because of these, previously with the original building, they would have to climb onto the neighboring roof, a squat and gobble, and then sort of jump or get a ladder to get onto their roof. That was the only way they had access to their roof previously. So this will help make it a legal, safe way for them to maintain their rooftop mounted equipment. Lastly, the previous stairs, rear stairs, were open to the pedestrian access way. The pedestrian access way from the parking is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's no gate. There's no one who locks it up at night. So consequently, a lot of people think the orthodontist office has a lot of drugs. The strongest drug they have is like Motrin, but people don't realize that, and they've been people have attempted to break in over the years numerous times because they'd hop over the fence, go up the stairs, and try to break in the back door. So as a consequence, we much prefer to enclose the stairs and extend the stairs to the roof. We hope that you grant us this variance, and Dr. Warren and Dr. Fred Warren is here to speak, as well as his dad, who started the business, Lynn Warren, many years ago. All right, thank you.
Thank you. So it's my
any questions you might have or anything like that?
Just one quick question. My understanding from staff that there, since the project was noticed, there was a subsequent revision that reduced the encroachment into the
rear. Yes, we were able to find more room for some of the dental vacuum lines and things like that down below, so that I narrowed up the roof penthouse. So it's actually still, I think, a projection of 13 feet as you have in the variance, but it's narrower and skinnier and smaller, less shadow all the way around.
Excellent. Okay? Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? And again, we're on item number 5 for 15 West Portal Avenue.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Sanchez, for taking time to consider these proposed variances. I'm Dr. Warren, owner of the building. Tony reviewed a lot of what, you know, what our concerns are. Mainly, it is a security, enclosing the stairs is a security problem that we've had problems in the past with break-ins, people having access to the roof. And the previous access to the roof was kind of an acrobatic act of standing on a railing, swinging out to a ladder, and then climbing over another building, and then to get to our building. So your consideration in this would be greatly appreciated. Despite the fire, we've been very fortunate that our business has actually improved. And with the loss of space due to requirements of for ADA, the elevator, the increased size of the stairs, we've lost a lot of usable space. And the proposed variance to increase our office space would be greatly appreciated from the standpoint of efficiency for our patients and efficiency for our staff in treating our patients. So other than that, he pretty much covered everything else. I do have some signatures that we've collected from businesses in the area and residents in the area in support of the variance. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? Item number 5 for 15 West Portal.
Hello, I am Lynn Warren. I am actually the doctor's sister, and I'm the office manager. I've managed the business for almost 20 years now. After the fire, we've actually had an amazing kind of recovery, and a lot of that was because of our staff, really extraordinary efforts by them. My job is to kind of make their life and their quality of workspace as good as I can. It's always been tight because it's San Francisco. But given the space that's lost, I'm really struggling. We've actually hired one more person just to kind of, like I said, make everybody's life a little bit better quality, as well as we've had additional increase in patients. So I'm having a very difficult time getting the workstations in. We're very digital. It's the reason that we could kind of pick up so quickly after the fire. We lost no patient data. So I would appreciate that if you would consider the additional space so that I can make the workstations as usable and as comfortable for our patients and our staff. So I appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item for 15 West Portal Avenue? Seeing none, we would close public comment if there's no other public comment and would be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the hardship that's imposed by the lot size that both inhibits the ability to have usable floor plans for the commercial use, but also impacts the ability to provide the code-compliant means of egress. So with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 6, case number 2013.0581V, 1228 Montgomery Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Ollie Lundberg from Lundberg Design. This is Michelle Kriebel. Michelle is the project architect on the project. And this is a sort of classic Telegraph Hill building. My clients, Ron and Barbara Kaufman, have lived there for 30 years. And they currently reside on the top level, and they'd like to continue residing there. They have right now 40 steps to get to their unit, and so they're seeking to put in an elevator. We did extensive studies of the building. The building is a six-unit building, and there are, of course, units below them. We looked at possibilities for putting an elevator within the existing shell of the building, and there was no way to do that without impacting a minimum of at least two other units, significantly impacting the floor plan, but also obviously having to probably move the tenants out while the work was done. And they did have this one light well that doesn't really provide much light. It is in the required rear yards. Of course, that's why we're asking for the variance. It seems to have very little impact on the building, the existing tenants, or the neighbors. We've received no objection to it from the neighbors. We have some letters of support. We hope that it's the reason why the variance process exists, like something like this could be granted to allow them to stay in the building. Michelle has much more experience with the project itself, so she will summarize the work we've done.
Thanks. Hi. So this is the ground floor. I just wanted to quickly walk through the different units in the building. There's a unit here. There is a unit here, and then the unit that is the owner's unit that's requesting the variance. This is a diagram to show you kind of the open space in the area. The yellow is the property in question and the issue of it occupying the entire rear yard setback and, in fact, virtually the entire lot. There's a little piece of open space here, which doesn't really qualify as open space by the definitions of open space. There's also a small light well here. There is, however, an adjacent shared open space that's shared between this property and this property. Garage access is through this open space, and it's shared by both of those. There's also large adjoining open spaces in neighbors' lots.
So there's an easement for access over that?
It's not an official easement granted by you or the building department, but it is a document shared between those two properties, correct. So this is another diagram just to try and show the relative area that we're looking at building and how it doesn't seem to have any impact on adjacent views or light or air. The green is the area that we're proposing placing the elevator. So that's on the second floor. This is the deck. So access to this unit will be via that deck. But you can see in terms of this neighbor's view, it's completely tucked behind a mass that's already protruding. This, by the way, is just a wall. There are no windows. It's a property line wall. And then third floor and fourth floor. And then just quickly, in case those diagrams aren't clear, I don't know how clear that is either. But the views in that space are negligible. You can't see the property or the area that we're looking at building this elevator in from any public space or any of the adjoining properties. This is that location that we're talking about. The other thing is, it will be in front of these windows, but what we're looking at doing is setting it off from those so that it still allows light and air into those spaces.
It'll essentially just create a light well there.
That's right, exactly. And actually, the area of the new elevator, we're looking at doing windows on either side. This would be glass, just fixed glass, and then a glass door so that we still get maximum light into and view into those units.
Okay. Thank you. So we'll see if there's any public comment on this item, and we're on item number 6 for 1228 Montgomery Street. Seeing none, I'd be inclined to close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it provides accessibility for the dwelling units and has minimal impact on the adjacent properties. So with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 7, case number 2013.0790V, 949 Hampshire Street, exposure, variance sought.
Pardon me, I'm sorry. This is the affidavit and the letter. So
okay.
We got.
Thank you.
Thanks. I have 5 minutes.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Claire Hart, and I'm one of the owners of the property at 949 Hampshire Street. My husband and I purchased the property in October of 2011 and have been renovating it ever since. It was owned by the same family since 1938, and basically nothing had happened on the inside since. What we're proposing is to add a unit. It's zoned for two units. It's been a single-family home, but we're proposing to add a unit in the back of the garage. The reason for the variance is that this is a bit of a unique property in that it's not the full width of the lot because there's a bay window on the right side of the building. And because of that bay window, there is a door leading to the backyard just underneath. So the dwelling unit in the back would have access through that door, and then the entrance would be right off the door on the left side. And because of that, we're asking for a variance. as I suggested, the property is a bit unique in its shape, and the best access really to provide privacy to this unit would be through that side walkway, and then it would also continue to provide privacy to the backyard because we would have that access gate that both units would have the ability to access the backyard through.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That's it. It's a fairly easy, I think, a fairly straightforward request. And
okay.
So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item for item number 7 for 949 Hampshire Street. Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the existing configuration of the building and that it provides an infill dwelling unit in a district which allows the requested density. So with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 8, case number 2012.1283V, 2440 Vallejo Street. Front setback and street frontage variances sought. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
My name is Robin Potampa-Ziv. I'm acting as the architect for 2440 Vallejo. We are requesting a variance to relocate an existing garage door that is at the facade of the house to the face of the garage structure or an existing deck, which is enclosed on all three sides. We do consider it a safety issue. It's a kind of dark black hole under this deck. People have thrown trash. It's an easy place for someone to kind of linger or harbor while someone comes home late at night, so we consider it an unsafe condition, not only for the owner, but as well as the neighborhood. We did take the size of the garage door opening down to the 10-foot as required by planning. We have added some additional permeable area that's in the courtyard. And that's about it. Our owner is here as well. And we just request that you grant us the variance.
Thank you. So I know the plans have been revised, I think, to provide a little bit more the permeability. But can you go into greater detail about, I can understand for the garage door, and you know we have this relatively new code requirement for like called the snout houses. Yeah, so if you could go into why the permeability and landscaping cannot be completely satisfied.
We have an existing planter to the left-hand side of the garage, but only a portion of that planter is going to be counted in the square footage. So actually this space here that's in the orange, if it could be included in the landscaped area, we would meet the 41 square feet of landscape in the front area. Now, the only other area for permeable surfaces is in this zone, and we have a new driveway that's been poured with considerable steel. So to ask the owner to completely remove this portion in here and replace it with a permeable area, what we did is cut in some planters in this courtyard area to increase our permeable zone, but it is not occurring in the front setback area.
The driveway has already been poured. When was that done?
That was done about 4 months ago.
And let's see the.
And it was before was Glenn advised us on the permeability issues.
Okay, but it was after the application had been submitted.
Right.
Okay, and so that's the driveway, and what about the area where the gate is?
All of that was all poured at the same time. In fact, the driveway might have been poured even before that.
Okay. All right, well, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item now. Is there any public comment on item number 8 for 2440 Vallejo Street? Seeing none, be inclined to close the public hearing. At this time, I'd like to take the matter under advisement and review the, in particular, the landscaping and permeability issues more thoroughly. I have concerns about the fact that we're not satisfying that requirement. I don't have an issue with the garage door movement, relocating that, but would like to take a bit more look at that front setback landscaping. There, I think, was also another permit that established the gate. Wasn't that a recent addition as well? Was that a newer change?
You mean the courtyard and the gate piece? That was a permit that we obtained and approved.
Right. But that was also within the last couple months as well. At the same time...
No, actually, it was
while ago.
Probably it was end of January
Okay. Of
this year.
Okay.
You know, we can possibly cut out concrete in front of the one courtyard wall, which is a considerable hardship for our owner, which is indicated by the B area in the highlighted zone, and it would add 30 square feet of permeable area. I mean, it is a hardship. We have to cut out concrete, and we can replace it with a permeable surface, or we could change it to a landscaped area. But we just have to have the garage door. I mean,
oh no,
you
I understand.
Know.
Oh, I mean, there's you're arguing that there's a hardship because that justifies the variance, and so, you know, I appreciate that there is this proposal here that may bring the project more into compliance with the planning code because that does have to be satisfied. So, you know, again, we'll take it under advisement, and we can discuss this with staff.
I'm
not opposed, as I said, to the concept of the variance for the garage door, but did have concerns about that, and, you know, this may address that. So let's have staff review this proposal.
The only reason we didn't do this area in front to be planted or permeable is partly because it's kind of a trip hazard. The adjacent surface to the north side, or actually it's truly to the east side of the property, is paved. So anybody coming along and kind of entering a planter just stumbles into it.
But it's on your client's property, right?
Yes, but it's on our client's property. Right?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. And, I'm sure that we can work out something that won't be a hazard to the neighbors skipping down the sidewalk.
Okay,
so,
great. And I also have
The affidavit?
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you. And so I just would contact Mr. Cabreros after the hearing and discuss the more code-complying alternative with
him.
Okay,
so we have to wait for the letter to come.
I would first just give Mr. Cabreros a call today, and
okay.
If you want to submit that as a revision,
okay, great.
We can review that, and we'll base the decision letter based upon what you can work out with staff on compliance with the permeability and landscaping.
Okay. Okay, even if that's under the required permeability.
Right.
But it helps.
Right. And I think it helps, you know, justify the variance as well, that you're bringing the property into conformity in other places.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Thank you.
We can move on to the next item.
Item number 9, case number 2013.0667V, 2808 Market Street, open space variance sought. We have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Good morning. My name is Serena Calhoun. I'm the project architect for the property located at 2808 Market Street. The property is located directly fronting onto Market Street and just a few feet up from the corner where it crosses Douglas. My client purchased this property just over a year ago. It was in a state of extreme disrepair, and since then we have repaired a large amount of termite damage, replaced all the windows, significant dry rot repairs. In doing so, we did a little project research on this and discovered that the two-story structure was in an RH2 zone and is permitted to have a second unit. So we proceeded with developing the lower-level unit, providing a kitchen, bathroom, and bedroom and living space area with a shared front door entrance. We did everything we could to preserve the existing facade. The structure was constructed in 1922. So when we were researching the open space requirements, we realized the only way to accommodate the requirement was to make a significant change to the front facade directly on Market Street. There is one existing patio here at the corner, that's accessed by the upper level. And then also in the very front, which I'll show you. Photo. You can see in the front over here, there's a little trellis structure. There's a little roof deck as well. So the top floor unit has access to open space and parking, and both units meet the requirements for exposure. But unfortunately, without, again, significant changes to the facade and the historic nature of the building, we were unable to provide the required open space.
Thank you. So was there any public comment on this item? We're on item number 9 for 2808 Market Street. Seeing none, we can close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance. I think as seen from the plans, there's a hardship in the configuration of the shape of the lot that would prevent a code-complying project here, and it otherwise incorporates well into the property. So with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 10, case number 2013.0532V, 1020 to 1022 Pierce Street, parking variance sought. You have 5 minutes, too.
Good morning. Wanted to give some background on this building. So we got married last year and bought that house because we liked the neighborhood, and we just moved there. Buying that house was a huge commitment because the house was a complete fixer, and then, you know, gave us a little bit more surprises than we expected. The house had rats, cockroaches, and then also an illegal unit, which wasn't, we could have figured it out at the beginning. We didn't, okay? Because there was one half of the building was converted, I think about 30 years ago, and the illegal unit is from a Section 8 tenant who lives there for 28 years. So then we figured out, okay, we need to fix this too. And as we want to live in the city, and as we want to make that also affordable to us, we want to add a fourth unit in the basement. So the house doesn't have parking today, and our architect will talk about this in a moment, why this is actually impossible to add parking to that house.
Okay.
But it's a really nice house. It's from 1885, and we've have it pretty well restored already.
So the illegal unit that's there now, is the tenant still residing in that unit?
Yes, a Section 8 tenant remains there, yeah.
And was there earlier this year a permit to remove the illegal unit?
No.
No? Okay,
no.
So you hadn't sought any permit to remove.
No, what we did is we replaced 80% of the foundation. The house was 4 inch lower on one side than the other. And there were holes everywhere. This was just why there was rodents everywhere. And we renovated the left half. The right half, there were two tenant parties in there. One of them is a Section 8 tenant, which lives there for 25 or 28 years, something like this.
And so you will reside in one of the units. There's on that side. And then
this side, and then this is the upstairs apartment. This used to be the same type of accommodations. It was a two-story unit.
Sorry, if you could speak into the microphone. Actually, did you want to go into your part of the presentation?
I can do that, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the only other thing I'd add is I think you mentioned if we'd done anything on the other side, we also, the work we did, we put in sprinklers in the whole house. So we have done some work in the other side, but primarily we renovated the side we live in.
All right. Thank you.
And a building burnt on the cross of this.
Yeah, I know that one. That was a big one, yeah.
So what we have here is the owners live in this unit, which is a two-story unit. The original building had a two-story unit here. Illegally in the 80s, they converted it into a first-floor and second-floor unit. So what we're doing is this permit is to create four units out of a two-unit building, which is allowable in the area. What we're seeking here is a variance for the parking. When you look at the parking and in trying to respond to the five requirements. You have the bay windows are all, they're 9 inches from grade here and 1'9" on the other side. So trying to get a ramp and parking down the 7 foot two into the basement area would be impossible. You'd have to have a ramp that would go 50 some feet back. So the parking on the site, right here is the subject property. There's all off-street parking here for a housing development that's next door. This is a school, and so there's no parking requirements in the evenings. And then the unit right next door is of the same building stock. It's historic. It's from basically the same era, which is 1990. You'll notice that there's a lot of detail in the front. Again, I think putting a garage onto this would be impractical from that standpoint as well. It would take away some of the character of the building. From that point, let's see here. What else are they going to say about this? Removal of detailing. Transportation. So many of the residents in the neighborhood make use of public transportation within 5 blocks of the property. There are the 5 Muni lines, the 5 Fulton, 22 Fillmore, 24 DeViz, 31 Balboa, and 38 Geary lines. Not having on-site parking will not have a negative impact on this neighborhood where many residents do not have cars and many properties don't have parking. It is the intent of the code to preserve the historical nature of the property for the enjoyment of the neighborhood, and the granting of this variance would allow that to happen.
Thank you. And just one question. The 2 existing legal units and the 1 illegal unit, they're all occupied at this point? And do any of the tenants have automobiles?
Only us.
Okay. And so the other 2 units don't have?
Correct.
Vehicles. Okay. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item, on item number 10 for 1020 to 1022 Pierce Street? So no public comment? I know that there had been some people who expressed concerns about the not providing parking, but I guess they're not here to speak to that. So with that, I would close the public hearing and be inclined to grant the requested variance. I think one of the concerns raised by neighbors was that around the corner on Turk, there's permit parking. There's residential permit parking, so you can't park there. I used to live in the neighborhood at Steiner and McAllister, and I mean, my personal experience was that parking was not really a problem. I did not drive often, but when I did not have an issue with finding on-street parking. There's always the ability that the neighborhood would have to try to extend the residential permit parking if that was an issue. And again, you know, it would be, I think, quite a hardship to add parking to this building. Just the legalizing the 3rd unit in and of itself does not trigger the parking requirement. You can add that 1 unit without triggering the parking requirement. It's the addition of 2, which is lawful in the neighborhood. And, you know, appreciate that you want to keep the existing illegal unit, legalize it, keep the tenant in there, add another unit to the city's housing stock. And what I had also personally experienced as an area that was very well served by public transit and biking and walking. So there's definitely many ways to go about without a vehicle. So with that, would be inclined to grant the requested variance and move on to the next item.
Last item in our calendar, case number 2012.1448V, 1410 Jefferson Street, exposure variance sought. Is the project sponsor here? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we have another more item. Sorry.
Second to last.
Second to the last. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Hi, my name is Elida Doldan-Schuchman. I'm the project architect, and I'll tell you a little bit about the history of the project. My clients bought this, purchased this house about a year ago, September last year, and the house is... was built in 1935, and it has a unit on the first floor. When I saw the house the first time, the unit to me seemed that was built at the same time that the house was built because of all the materials that were used, the fixtures, all the elements there were there for an older structure of the same period. Years later, in 1962, they added the 4th floor, so that's why it's described in your documents as a 4-story house with a unit. What we find out was we applied for a permit, and we obtained a permit to remodel the unit, and at that point, we find out that it wasn't a legal unit, so then we have a choice what to do. We decided to keep it as guest quarters, but now, as we are proceeding with the project, we decided it would be better to convert it into a legal unit. The problem we have is a problem of exposure. This is a very unusually shaped lot. It's triangular. There are a series of... we have a very small backyard, and the unit actually is open to the back and also has an entry in the front. I can show you a little side plan here. So here is the backyard with the exit to the back, and then you have the entry in the front on Jefferson Street. The thought here is that there always has been a unit there. It has been used at a certain point. I think it was rented, or somebody lived there, at least that was our impression. So the use has, it will not change as much for the building. Besides that, the whole neighborhood is, the whole block has duplexes, and there is a large apartment building across the street. So with that, I would like to request that you will approve our little project.
Thank you. So a couple questions. Sure. Do you know how long the unit has been there?
Well, the house was built in 1835, and what I can see from the way it was built, that they use the same materials, they have the same fixtures. So to me, it was built in 1835. The windows were original, and now we are changing the windows. The door was an original door. Everything inside seemed to be original, except that they have used a certain point. They put some pergo flooring and some vinyl flooring that looks like was over the older flooring. So, but otherwise, everything was pretty much original.
Okay. And this is the property. I'd mistaken the other one for being the property that had sought a permit to remove the illegal unit. And what was the status of that permit? Was that ever finalized, or the permit to remove the unit?
To remove the unit? No. We pull out a permit to remodel the unit.
And
and we are doing that right now. So, but when we pull out that permit, that's when we discovered that was an illegal unit.
Because I have in our notes, sorry, that there was a permit in February to remove the illegal unit.
No, not to remove it, to remodel it.
Okay, sorry, misinformed. Yeah. Okay, so is that unit currently occupied?
No, because we're in the process of remodeling it.
Okay, and when was it last occupied?
When my clients bought the property, the whole house was empty. Everybody has moved out.
Okay.
The house had been rented for several years, and they bought it last September.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item, on item number 11 for 1410 Jefferson Street? Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing on this item. Be inclined to grant the requested variance. I think, as also noted in this case, it seems to be the day of triangular lots and exposure variances, but the lot configuration would prevent satisfying this code requirement. But otherwise, the unit meets the requirements of the code. So with that, be inclined to grant the requested variance. Move on to the next item and final.
This is definitely the last item. Case number 2013-0609V, 773 Oak Street, rear yard variance sought.
Good morning. My name is Matt Diamond. I'm the owner, along with my wife Jessica Diamond, of the property and also the designer. A brief history on the property. It's been owned for the last 100 years before we bought it by a single family, as far as I know, from the seller. His grandparents owned it, passed it down to his parents, passed it down to Mr. Bender, who was the last owner. As near as we can tell, at some point the family moved out of the rear building, which is the subject building we're looking to do work on, and into the front building, and basically abandoned the back building, and it's been in a state of decay ever since. We bought the property in July of last year and did a quick remodel on the front so that we could move into the front building, and now we're looking to develop the back so that we could raise our family here in the city and remain here. You can see from the photos the condition of the, this photo here is the front facade. This is all, these other photos are all from the rear. And you can see that it's in a major state of disrepair and that the neighbors have been hounding us to get on this and are in full support of the project, and I have letters from a couple of the neighbors with me today. So in the site plan, you can see that this is the subject building. There's a front building here. And the impact to our neighbors would be directly on this neighbor here, this neighbor, and this neighbor of the project. Because it's 100% in the rear yard, we need to get a variance for the project. But beyond that, I think that we meet all the planning code requirements. We worked with our planner and the historic preservationist to make sure that we maintain the front facade of the rear building, which I'll put up here in a sec. So here's the existing facade and the proposed. The existing's on the bottom and the proposed is on top. We're looking to add a little deck off the living room on the left side. You'll see that. And we're looking to change the material here back to what I think was originally shingle, but now is some kind of plastic siding that they put up since then. In addition to that, we're changing a little bit of the interior of the property and expanding a little bit, about 500 square feet. On the existing lower floor in the basement, we're building out in the front here, which is all underground and won't be in public view at all. And on the rear, we're looking to pull back this side here away from the neighboring properties to give some more space between us and the neighbor's property, and also to straighten out this line along the back to give some uniformity to the property. Right now, there's a series of roof lines in the back, and we're looking to simplify that into a single roof line at the upper floor and increase the attic space into more bedroom space for us and our growing family. Let's see. Here's the proposed floor plan. That level, and you can see we've pulled back here away from the property line. We've, you know, created a little deck, and then we filled in. There was a light well here that was about 2 feet wide that we filled in. That's the main changes on the ground floor. The basement level here is where that little underground area is here that we dug out. We're building a little recessed play court down below for these two bedrooms. The rest of the floor plan more or less stays the way it is. We're just adding an interior stair. And on the upper level, this is the built-out attic. So the attic currently exists in this space here and then back to about here. Again, we're pulling back that volume of roof from the rear side back, and we're filling the rest of this space here. That's pretty much the project.
Thank you. Just a quick question about the building in the front. Was that previously a commercial building years ago? Was that
to the best of our understanding, yes. It was being lived in as a residence when we bought it. Mr. Bender, the owner at the time, was living in it. We did a really quick remodel of it so that we could move in so we had somewhere to live while we worked on the back building designs and got permits, which is ultimately where we want to live. And then once we create that new, it also create obviously a new unit for the city since it's currently uninhabitable. We'll do more further renovations on the front to try to create another living unit for the city as well. I don't remember the last time it was a commercial space. It must have been decades ago because he's been living there for a long time.
And the appearance of it is as a commercial storefront. It probably had been historically that, but
right. And we've spent considerable money getting it painted, fixing it up, replaced the windows. Did a lot of work out front for the neighbors because it was an eyesore before.
Okay.
So we're really working hard with the neighbors to make everything well. We want to improve the neighborhood. The neighborhood's up and coming. It's been great. We love it there. We really enjoy living there. So.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Is there any public comment on this item, which is item number 12 for 773 Oak Street? Seeing none, I'd close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the historic resource here as well as the existing non-compliant conditions of the building at the rear of the lot. With that, we would move on to general public comment. If there's any general public comment. Seeing none, this hearing is closed and we'll reconvene in October. Thank you.